Let the speech of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that my soul may live because of you. In the heavenly doctrine, the Lord tells us what it was like for him while he was growing up. We learn that the story of Abram and Sarai in Egypt, in its deepest meaning, describes how the Lord Jesus on earth advanced from a childlike state to a more mature state. It is wonderful to be given such insights into how it was for the Lord as a child. These teachings make him more human and approachable to us. At the same time, they teach us about growing up to spiritual maturity ourselves. The story begins with a severe famine in the land of Canaan, which caused Abram to migrate to Egypt for a while. Egypt, the land of the pyramids and the hieroglyphics, later the home of the greatest ancient library at Alexandria, represents knowledge in general and all the specific memory knowledges we learn. The Lord blesses everyone, and especially children, with curiosity, the love of finding out about things. It is a spiritual hunger that leads us to the spiritual Egypt, that is, to learn. Most people are hungry to learn, at least about certain subjects of interest. The Lord gives us this hunger because knowledge is essential to our spirit, and especially to the rebirth or regeneration of our spirit. And we are told, children are especially fascinated with learning things about the Lord and heaven. We read, the higher things are, the more children desire them, especially when they hear they are heavenly and divine. So, there was a heavy famine in the land, a great hunger to learn in the Lord as a child. Like Abram, Jesus literally, as well as spiritually, went down to Egypt. He learned things eagerly, as we see from his questioning of the rabbis in the temple when he was 12 years old. The Arcana comments, such is the nature of knowledge during childhood, that at the very first, knowledge pleases a child for no other purpose than just to know it. Everyone is like this. His spirit is greatly delighted to know, so that there is scarcely anything it desires more. Knowledge is his spirit's food, by which it is sustained and refreshed, as the outer man is fed by earthly food. Not everyone enjoys school, but everyone is eager to find out about the world and about how people interact, and especially about the Lord and heaven. The delight in learning about heavenly and divine things is represented by the Egyptians finding Sarai, a woman beautiful in appearance. Truth that comes from a heavenly origin is beauty itself, the source of all our hopes and idealism. We love to have strong, clear images of the Lord, his love and guiding providence, and of the life of heaven, and the promise of an eternal love in our marriage, and also of an honorable life at home, at work, and with our friends. But the Arcana tells us that the Lord Jesus noticed a potential danger in the love of knowing, that the love of the use of the knowledge might be destroyed if one got carried away with the sheer love of learning. In the story, Abram represents the Lord's love of use, that is, of actually doing what is good and helping others. Abram was afraid that the Egyptians would kill him if they knew the beautiful Sarai was his wife. The Lord was afraid that the mere love of knowing things might destroy the love of use in him if there was too strong a connection between what he was learning and the use of it right away. So Abram said, "Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that my soul may live because of you." This represents how in the early stages of regeneration, we don't see the close bond like a marriage between what we learn and use. So we aren't accountable for not immediately applying everything we learn to life. We live in a culture strongly affected by the idea of salvation by faith alone, by knowledge alone, without a useful life. We tend to glorify technology. We do things because we can, rather than for the use. We have a fascination with the tools, the procedures, the regulations, the shape and the format that often distracts us from actually helping people live better lives. Yet, many discoveries are made through so-called pure research and through playing around with tools. Discoveries which become very useful sooner or later. And often, we have to learn a lot by trial and error before we can see the use of what we are learning. Similarly, in our spiritual lives, we cannot at first love knowledge or truth mainly for its use to others and ourselves in an unselfish way. We scarcely know what a useful life is, except theoretically or as to some outward functions. Gradually, the Lord reveals to us the marriage between truth and good. He gives us hints of the real implications of what we have learned for our eternal lives. The doctrine is, a person is allowed to enter deeply into the truths of faith and the goods of charity only so far as he can be kept in them, right on to the end of his life. It is much better for us to fail to see the real meaning of something we have learned and remain blind to what it says about how we must change our ways of life than to see it deeply and clearly and with affection, but then reject it and turn away from it. That would be profanation. In that case, spiritually, Abram, the love of use, would be slain. It is much better for us not to see until we are strong enough to follow through with it for the rest of our lives. Meanwhile, we learn lots of valuable information that will be very useful to us when we're ready for it. So early on, and especially in childhood, it seems as if we should learn things just because it's good and interesting to learn, not for any particular application. Think how much school children learn without any application except to schoolwork itself. This is represented by Sarai, the truth, being called a sister to Abram, who is use. We see that truth is related to good and use, but the full intimate marriage between truth and good does not appear. Amazingly, this was true even with the child Jesus. At first, all he knew was that the things he was learning were for the sake of building up his comprehension of the truth, not for any specific purpose. He was captivated, the doctrine says, by the delight of knowledge, like Sarai being taken to Pharaoh's palace, yet innocently, without rejecting the use of that knowledge, just like other children. Meanwhile, he learned a lot. We read, "And Pharaoh did well to Abram for Sarai's sake, and he had flock and herd and male donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels." Jesus was greatly enriched with information that would serve him well. The rabbis were astonished at his understanding and answers. Yet, knowledge is not the goal in itself. Knowledge must serve for use in life. Truth is not the sister, but the wife of good. Until we see the good or use of something we have learned, we don't really see it at all as it really is. The wonderful thing is that even while we are learning things just out of curiosity or duty or some other motive, the Lord is still arranging all this information in our minds to serve a use. First, knowledge teaches us how to think clearly, to learn ways of thinking about things, ways of solving problems. Second, knowledge serves as a basis for developing principles, to confirm and strengthen what we believe about life, to establish a strong conscience and good intentions. Finally, knowledge helps us bring our principles down into life, to see how the Lord wants us to act in this or that situation. We read, so that the very life may consist in use and be a life of uses. As the Lord leads us to shift our focus from learning to life and use, then certain old concepts, which may have meant a lot to us when we were learning them, have to be destroyed or replaced in our minds. For example, we may have loved algebra or foreign language or history, but now we have no practical use for that information. We forget about it because our minds are focused on the knowledge we need and use every day. But sometimes we may feel sad not to have those facts at our fingertips anymore. We may have held a certain attitude for a long time, supported by certain so-called facts. But now we see that that attitude is quite wrong in certain respects. A psychological theory that helped us in an earlier stage of our marriage or in raising our children or in our work, we may come to see as relatively superficial and actually a barrier to our progress from where we are now. Our view of what's most important in the church or in our country may shift. So there may be a sense of sadness or even great insecurity as we find old ideas undermined and giving way. This is represented in the story by the great plagues that struck Pharaoh's house and by his saying, "What have you done to me?" We are specifically told that these words represent the Lord's grief, that ideas he had learned with pleasure had to be destroyed. The Arcana Celestia comments, "It is the same with little children. When something they love is taken away from them, which their parents see as harmful to them, they grieve over the loss of it." It became clear to Jesus that if he were carried away with a mere desire for knowledge, eventually he would no longer care about the love of use. He saw that his growing knowledge and the love of it needed to be dedicated to heavenly purposes, ultimately to saving the human race. Possibly his grief and surprise at this realization may be represented in Mary when she said, "Child, why have you done this to us? Behold, your father and I have sought you, grieving." And he said to them, "Why have you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in what is my father's?" This seems to represent Jesus having a new perception of his purpose in learning. As we begin a new school year, it is helpful to have these two stages in mind. First, that we hungrily learn lots of knowledges without much sight of their use, but then, beginning around puberty, the use of the knowledge grows more and more important to us. As we mature, and as we apply knowledges to life, some old ideas have to die away to make room for better ones. This can be very disconcerting. What is important? What is true? But if we are trying to follow the Lord, we can rest in Him. He will lead us to new clarity, much better than before. The Lord Himself went through such times, and He will lead us through to greater wisdom and happiness, as skills are applied to our work, as truths we love are married to good uses, and wisdom is married with love. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.